with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 4. John, chapter number 4, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. John, chapter number 4, begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is this that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that you've given to us to read thy word. I ask you to bless the reading of it and the preaching of it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to hear from thee today. Thank you for this beautiful story that we're reading. I pray, God, that it would touch our lives in a way that'll change us. Lord, I pray if there be one here today without Christ as Savior, that this would be the hour that they come to trust thee. And for those of us that are saved, have the assurance of heaven, I pray that during this hour, we too would be blessed and touched in such a way that we'd serve thee to a greater degree. Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen us and hide me, Lord, behind the cross. Lord, I pray today that no one would see or hear, Lord, things of me, but they would see and hear the things of thee. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for all that's accomplished. For it's in the lovely name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. There's a lot of great stories in the Bible. Stories about the Lord Jesus Christ and as he deals with individuals personally. Different circumstances, different situations, no doubt about it. We read about Christ and the nobleman's son. You remember that story, what a great story that was. And then the daughter of Jairus, when he was on his way to heal her, there was the woman with the issue of blood that came to him and touched the hem of his garment. And so on his way to heal the daughter of Jairus, this woman stopped the proceedings. And no doubt Jairus' father was all ready. Said, "We need to go, we need to go. My daughter's going to die. You need to come and heal her." But Jesus had time to stop and heal this woman, and then to go on and take care of the daughter of Jairus. We read about Nicodemus and the spiritual needs that he had. And the Lord Jesus dealt personally with him. And then there was that man, the maniac of Gadara. Y'all remember that story. He had ripped himself apart, and no doubt he was foaming at the mouth, and chains, they bound him with chains, and he would break through the chains. What a man he was. And he was under the power of Satan, but one day the power of the Lord Jesus Christ came into his life and changed his life. There was the time that Zacchaeus, what a man that was a publican, and he was up in the tree. You remember that story, don't you? And the Lord Jesus called him out personally. He said, "Make haste, come down. I'm going to your house today." What a great story that was. And the Lord Jesus changed his life. We just see all kinds of people. The woman taken in adultery. We talked about that just a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night. But then we have this story, and it's a great story. There's no doubt. One of the greatest stories in the Bible is the story that we're reading here in John chapter number 4. It's called, the people call it the woman at the well. And, And I say, let's look at it and call it the well of salvation. This woman came to draw water from a well, but she got a whole lot more than water when she got there. She got a dose of eternal life. Amen. And I want us to look at this story just for a few moments today, and hopefully we'll get some things about this story. First of all, I want you to see that he came to her. Christ came to this woman. He came to her. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. The Bible says, and he must needs go through Samaria. You've heard stories about this, and preachers have preached on this, and we know that going through Samaria was not the way that the Jews would travel from Judea to Galilee. There's no doubt about it. And Samaria was one of three ways that people would travel from this point to that point. But the Jews would not go because of the great dissension between the Jews and the Samaritans. But the Bible says here, the Lord had inspired, he must needs go through Samaria. The Lord Jesus Christ had an appointment this day. He had an appointment to meet this woman at the well. Now, she knew nothing of the appointment, but Christ knew everything about it. She knew, she had no idea that when she went at the noon hour, about the sixth hour, which is noon, the hot part of the day, she thought she would be there alone because that's when she always went to the well to draw the water. None of the other ladies that would come to the well, none of them liked her, no doubt. She'd been married 5 times, and now she's living with a man, and they wanted nothing to do with her. She was an outcast of society. But he came to her. He came to where she was. He found her in the condition that she was in. The Lord Jesus Christ came to her. The Bible says he must needs go through Samaria because he knew there was a woman there that had a need, and he goes there, and he's there just at the right time, just at the right place, and just when the woman needed to be there, she came to be there. That's the sovereignty of God, dear friend. We realize that. And Jesus came to where she was. Must needs go. Imagine that. Must needs go. I have no doubt his disciples were thinking, Lord, what are you doing this for? Why would you go this way? We never go this way. We're not welcome there, and they don't like us, and we don't like them. But Jesus had inspired, he must needs go through. You know what it helps me to understand? It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter what they've done in their life. Jesus is right for them. When I think about it, he came to her. When I think about how he came to her, I realize how he came for us. The Bible says in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 19 and verse number 10, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was me. I was lost and undone. And that was you. It either was you or it is you. Lost and undone. No hope for eternity. Children of darkness, if you will, if you were in our Sunday school, get maybe a greater understanding of that. Walking in darkness, and he came to where you was. He came to seek and to save you. And if you're here today without Christ as Savior, he has come to seek and to save you. He has come looking for you. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. He has come to where you are. He is here today to meet you, to greet you, and to bring you into the family of God. He came for us. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Think about it. Think of how he came for us. He was made a little lower than the angels. He came into this world, robed himself in flesh, took upon himself the form of a servant. We'll talk about that in a moment. But he lowered himself, the very Creator God, became lower than the angels. Lower than these created beings. He was made lower than the angels so that we could be made higher than the angels. We think about the angels, we think about these angelic beings, you know, or these spirit beings or whatever. We think about how God created them. But dear friends, I want you to know, he created them, but he didn't redeem them. He redeemed us. And one day we're going to be equal ground with the Lord Jesus Himself. We're going to be able to see Him as He is, for we'll be like Him, the Bible says. But He had to become lower than the angels so that we could be made higher than the angels. He came for us. Just like He had to go through Samaria, Christ had to come into this world, and Christ had to die on the cross for us. He came for us. Notice what the Bible says in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2, verse number 5. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Isn't that amazing? That the God that created us took upon him the form of a servant, and made was in our likeness. We were created in his image, and then he was made into our likeness. But notice what the Bible says. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He came for us. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. When he came into this world, he was made lower than the angels. He was made lower than the angels, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, the Bible says he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why would the Creator have to go to the cross? Because his creation, mankind, turned their back on God and rejected God, became sinners, if you will. You know the story in the Old Testament, how the serpent beguiled Eve and Eve beguiled Adam. And the Bible says that death passed upon all men for all have sinned. Because Adam sinned, all men have sinned. We're born sinners. Christ had to come for us, just like he came to Samaria that day for this dear woman who was lost in hope. Can you imagine how she felt? Can you imagine what her life must have been like? An outcast from society, nobody cared for her, nobody wanted to talk to her. Probably the only one that spoke to her was the man that she was living with. Walking down the street, she would get the sneers and the jeers of all the people. But he came to her. What a Savior. I want you to know, for the lowest of sinners, Christ died on the cross. And for the best that the world has to offer, they too must receive the same Jesus that what we would consider the lowest of sinners would have to receive. He came to her, just like he came for us. But then I want you to see the second thing. He knew her sinfulness. He knew what she was like. He knew everything about her. This is an amazing thing to me. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 16 of our text. Jesus saith unto her, "Go, call thy husband and come hither." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly." He knew everything about her. She was amazed. There's no doubt. Here he is, he's a Jew. And he comes through Samaria. And on this trip through Samaria, he stops at the well at just the right time. And she comes to this well at the noonday thinking nobody else is going to be there. She didn't realize that he came for her. But she was starting to figure some things out. And then she says, "Why would you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, a Samaritan? You know you have nothing to do with us." And he said, "You know, if you gave me to drink something to drink, then I'd thirst again. But if I give you a drink of this, I'm offering you something, then you'll never thirst again." And she's just, her mind, no doubt, is wondering and thinking, what in the world is going on? And then he says, "Go get your husband." And she says, "I don't have a husband." He said, "You're right. You've had five. And now you're living with a man. He knew all about her. We'll not surprise him with some secret sin, by the way, dear friend. When he comes to where we are and we start thinking, well, I'm too bad here, or this is too bad in my life, or I can't let him know. He already knows. And he says to her, you've had five husbands. Now you're living with a man, but he still came to her. It doesn't matter where you are in your life. If you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Look, I think one of the worst sins is to play church and to play religion. To act like something that you're not. You may be playing games at the house of God. You may be telling people, yeah, I'm saved, but you've never really personally trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm not trying to make it out. You know if you trusted the Lord or not. I played the game. I know what it was like. I went to church. I did everything you could possibly do. I played the game of religion. Sang in the choir. I was trying to convince everybody that I was all right with God. But thank God he came to me. He saw my hypocrisy. He saw what I was like. He saw right through it all. He knew I was lost and undone, yet he still loved me. He saw me singing in the choir and singing like I knew him. But he still loved me when he knew that I didn't know him. What a Savior. That night when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, that night, see, I got it all settled, and now I know I'm saved. And you can try to make me think I'm not saved, but I know I'm saved because I trusted Christ and Christ alone. I'm not trusting my works. I'm not trusting being a pastor. I'm not trusting because I read my Bible every day. I'm not trusting any of that. I'm trusting Christ. When I trusted Him, He knew everything about me, but He still came to where I was. He knew about all my sinfulness. And He still came to me and knowing me and loving me. I think about how the song says it so well. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. He looked beyond what we are and He sees what we can be. Aren't you glad of that? Oh, if He would have just looked and saw me for what I was and I had to be something else, I'd still be lost. But He looked beyond that. And He knew what His saving grace could do in my life. He came to where I was, and He came to where you was. If you've ever trusted Christ as Savior, He came to where you was. He knew everything about you. We could come around this morning, and I could ask each one of you a question. What were you like before you were saved? We would get all kinds of different answers. There would be some in here that might could say, you know, I used to drink a lot. Some people even call me an alcoholic. Or drunkard, as the Bible says. Some may say, oh, you know, I was addicted to certain things. Or some may say, I had this habit in my life. Or some may say, you know, I was a pretty good person. I was always respectful and always honored my parents and always was kind to my neighbors around me. But you're still lost. You see, in the sight of God, there's like no list of great sin and little sin. They're all sins. And He knows all about you. He knows all about me, and He knew all about you, and He knew all about me, but He still came to where we was. When He saw our sinfulness, when we see the sinfulness of people, sometimes we look at them and we say, I don't want anything to do with them. Am I right? We see people and we say, boy, look at them. Look at how they look. Look at how they dress. Look at what they do. Listen to how they talk. But Jesus goes right to where this wicked, sinful woman that had been married five times and is now living in sin, He goes right to where she is, knowing everything about her. He came to her. He knew her sinfulness. And finally this morning, I want you to see that He offered her salvation. He looks beyond what we are. And sees what we can be. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. What is that gift of God? It's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, isn't it? Isn't that what the Bible says? If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Look at verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water, talking about the water in the well, will thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Here's a woman, been married 5 times. Now she's living with a man. Christ came to where she was at a specific time, at a specific place. He met her when nobody else would be around her. He met her where she was. He told her everything about her. He knew all of her sinfulness. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, I want to show you a man. In verse number 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I'm going to tell you something. He must have told her a little bit more than you've been married 5 times and now you're living with a man. She said, he told me everything about myself. He pointed out everything that I'd done. He told me all about my life, and he still is offering me a drink from a well of water that'll give me everlasting life. And I'll never... Is not this the Christ? Come see a man, she said. Come see this. Is not this the Lord Jesus Christ? Here she is. 5 times married, living with the man. And he says, I've got a gift for you. It's the gift of God. It's eternal life. And it's through me. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who is this that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If you realized who I am, Jesus said, you would realize that I have something for you that's greater than what you have for me. I think that's the way we all are, isn't it? What he has for us is a whole lot greater than what we have for him. A lot of people think, well, you know, when they get saved and they think that they're God's gift to God. You know a lot of preachers like that, don't you? I do. A lot of Christians like that. So pious in their thoughts of themselves. They think they're really something. You know what they are? Just an old sinner that's been offered the same gift that the drunkard was offered, that the harlot's been offered, that the dope addicts and the druggies have been offered. Thank God. And he offered her eternal life. He said, if you drink this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I'll give him, you'll never thirst again. Notice with me what the Bible says just a couple chapters over in the Gospel of John, chapter number 7, in verse number 37 and 38. The Bible says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know what it takes to be saved? Believing on him. Faith in Christ. Not in this church. Not in some sacrament. Not in some ritual. But faith in Jesus Christ. And he said that if you're thirsty, if you'll believe on me, I'll fill you up to the point that out of you will flow rivers of living water. Eternal life is a gift for all of us that receive it. All of us. It's wholly and fully the gift of God by His marvelous grace. He's not going to force it on you. He's not going to make you get saved. But He's offering it to you. Just like he offered it to the woman this day. Now let's be honest about this. If this were us, and we saw this woman. Now look, I don't think we ought to go into the bars to try to witness to drunks. You understand what I'm saying? I believe that God's given us enough sense to do this. And if God really puts on somebody's heart to go in there, then I'm not going to stand in the way. But I'm just telling you, for the sake of testimony and for what we know the Bible teaches us, I don't think you go to a brothel to witness to harlots. You understand what I'm saying here? What Christ did right out in the open, didn't he? And he goes to where she is. But if we see people sometimes and we look at them and maybe we smell them or maybe we see that they've got a bottle in their hand, I mean, it's almost like they have leprosy, and we try to push them as far away as we possibly can. We don't have to go and be a part of what they are, but it wouldn't hurt us to give them a gospel tract. You want to know why? Because Christ came into this world to offer eternal life to all. All. For God so loved those that have a good reputation and those that don't sin too bad and those that have never taken a drink and those that have never smoked a cigarette and those that have never watched a bad thing or listened to a bad song. That's who Jesus came for. No, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The truth of the matter is this. If it wasn't for God so loved the world, then I wouldn't be saved today. But I'm saved because He loved the world. And He offered eternal life. And He said, if you're thirsty, if you'll believe on Me, I'll satisfy that thirst. And there was a day in my life where I took a drink. And He satisfied me. This woman had come to this well day after day after day, no doubt at the noon hour, to be able to be sure that everything was all right, that they had water in the house and water for their, if they had some animals, and water to cleanse themselves with. No doubt about that. She came every day doing this. But every day she'd have to come back and come back and come back. She was always empty of something. But this day, she got filled up with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll notice what the Bible says she left her water pot. That's a great thing, isn't it? She left something that was very important for something that was a whole lot more important. And she went and she told all the people. Look, she was so changed that she went up to those men. I wonder if some of them might have been former husbands. She said, I want to tell you about Jesus. And the Bible says that there was many that believed on Him because of her report. Some waited for Jesus to come, and He did come. And then they believed on Him for His report. But she had already set it up. A woman that had been married 5 times and now she's living with a man and now she's talking about Jesus and how He's forgiven her and how He's cleansed her and how she'd been looking. Husband one didn't meet the needs. She's empty. Husband two, husband three, husband four, husband five. She said, I'm tired of marriage. I'm just going to live with somebody. Boy, that's the world we live in. Amen. Somebody said the divorce rate's dropping. That's because marriage is not happening. People just live together. None of these men satisfied her. That's because they were offering something to her that was just temporal. That Christ came and offered something that was eternal. And I have no doubt when I get to heaven, I'll be able to see her. And you know what she's going to be talking about? The day she met Jesus and how she was hopeless, an outcast. Nobody cared. Nobody loved her. None of the other ladies would talk to her. I don't know what happens after this, but I can just honestly imagine in my heart and in my mind, this became one of the greatest ladies in that community because she was a changed woman. That's what happens when Jesus comes and you take a drink. You know what He's doing? He's coming to where we are. He knows everything about us. And He's offering us a drink. And He says, have a drink. If you want it. But there's many of us, He'll say, have a drink. And they'll say, and it might be you today. There's going to be a day that you stand before the Lord, either at the judgment throne or at the great white throne judgment. The judgment throne, if you're a believer, trust in Jesus. And you'll be accountable for what you've done with Christ. But if you've never trusted Christ, you're going to face Him at the great white throne judgment. And He's going to ask you, why did you refuse to drink? When I came to where you was, why did you reject Me? Now you've got to pay for all your sins. In eternity, you'll spend your eternity in the lake of fire. Dear friends, today, can I say that Jesus has come to offer you a drink? You say, but you just don't know Me. I play games. Oh, I may not know you, but he does. You may not know what I've done. He does. He died for those sins. He nailed those sins to the cross. He rose again, defeating death, hell, and the grave. And said, if you'll put your faith in me, you'll not thirst again. What a Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So to the unbeliever today, or the unsure, this is the gift. And it's being offered. It's being extended to you. Take a drink. To those of us that are saved, to the believer, our responsibility is to take this gift, to take this drink, to take this water, this drink that'll satisfy the thirst of those people. It's to take and to extend it to all. Anybody can have it if they want it. It's there for everybody. This dear lady will never forget what happened this day at noon. Never. She's in eternity now. And she's still remembering that noonday experience. I have a feeling that I'm going to remember that night in August, 1985, forever, when he changed my life. And you're going to remember the day. You'll never get over it. I've often wondered, you know, some people say it's going to be like a videotape in heaven recorded of certain things. I hope that the night I was saved is going to be shown over and over and over again. I don't ever want to forget what he's done for me, how he saved me. I was looking and searching and hoping to find something. I tried so many different... I tried church. Church didn't satisfy me because what church was about, I was missing. I tried singing in the choir. I tried teaching a class. I tried doing good and being good. And there was something missing. Empty, void. But the night that I trusted Christ, all the voids were filled. And you know how I felt? And I felt ever since? Satisfied. Satisfied that I'm all right with Him. I'm not satisfied in the things I'm doing and accomplishing, but I'm satisfied that my eternal life is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. What once was simply a well of water to her, this day became the well of salvation. I imagine every time she went back to that place after that day to refill, I wonder if she started going in the morning time. You know? I want to start talking with those ladies then. They may still not have liked her, but Jesus loved her. I have a feeling that's all that she cared about was that Jesus loved her. She'd go back and she'd feel that, and every time she would go there, just like going back to Bethel, you know? She'd go back and she'd remember, this is where I met Him. Sometimes in your heart and your soul, you ought to go back to where you met Jesus and just fall in love with Him all over again. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. As we pray, as I pray for you this morning, I want to be able to pray intelligently about some things, wisely. If you're here and you say, preacher, I'm saved, no doubt about it, heaven's going to be my home. If Jesus were to come today and the rapture take place, or for some unfortunate reason, I won't make it home because of some tragedy that may happen in my life. I know regardless of what happens, I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus. I'm saved. I've trusted Christ and Christ alone. Would you lift your hand this morning? That's me, preacher. I am saved. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm saved. On my way to heaven. God bless you. How many would say, preacher, I've not had that drink. I'm empty and I'm void. I'm missing Christ in my life. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm tired of this. I know I need Him. I want you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand this morning? That's me. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Please pray for me. Would there be one? So many of us lifted our hand and we're saved. Are we living for the Lord? You know, our Sunday school was talking about not being ashamed of our Lord. One thing I found out is that as I go on living for God, the more I tell others of Him, the happier I am. Being satisfied with what He gave me has made such a difference in my life. And I can give as much of it as I possibly can to others, and I'll still have just as much as I ever had. That's the greatest gift in all the world. This morning, there's some of us that needs to just fall in love with Jesus all over again. Maybe you need to go back to the well where you were saved. Go back to Bethel and remember what God's done for you. Sometimes we just get so satisfied and so settled with ourself in our Christian life that we forget that the reason that we're here is to serve Him and to live for Him and to bring others to Him and to offer this living water, a drink of living water to others, offer Christ to others. And if that's you this morning, I'm going to ask that you'll be honest about that. You'll be honest and you'll come and you'll say, Lord, help me. I just want to fall in love with you all over again. If Christians would start falling in love with Jesus all over again, we'd have revival. We'd see things happen that we've only read about and we never thought could happen today if we fall in love with Jesus all over again. Father, I pray that you'll help us. As we come time for this invitation, Lord, may we be obedient. Strengthen us to do thy will. Help us to do right. Lord, not one person raised their hand that they weren't sure of their salvation. So, Lord, we thank you that everybody here claims to know this Savior, and I pray that they do. Lord, if that's the case, then I pray that each one of us would consider what we're doing with thee. I pray that you'll help us to look to our life, and I pray that you'll help us to go back to that moment when we trusted you as Savior and to remember the sweet peace that we experienced and the victory that we knew was a part of our life. And Lord, if it's not greater now than it was then, I pray that you'd help us to go back in our mind, our heart, and our soul, and to fall in love with you all over again. And Lord, help our greatest days to be now. Not right after we were saved, but now. As we live and go on for thee, help us to be a faithful witness. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to quietly stand your feet.